Happy Monday, and welcome to South Florida Opinion Live with the Sun Sentinel Editorial Board. This is our weekly Facebook Live show where we talk about the issues in the news from a South Florida point of view. So let's get on with what we're here to talk about today.
First.
Who's up?
Cuba. Larry's up.
I am up. Yes. We have got the President of the United States will be here on Friday, President Trump. To talk about scaling back some of these Cuba policies that President Obama came up with that eased the restrictions, etc. There's a couple of things here to keep in mind. First of all, it's going to involve, I believe, from what I'm reading, it's going to involve travel and trade. It's not going to change everything that President Obama did. But obviously, President Trump wants to get rid of anything that's got an Obama legacy about it. He's cutting back on everything like that. And secondly, I believe Marco Rubio is going to be with him.
There you go.
And Marco was the one who was going to be so tough on the president and was going to ask tough questions. Well, if you saw the Comey interrogation on Thursday, you saw that he wasn't very tough. He's the one who was very soft on Trump. And because they had dinner with the president the night before, it should tell you a lot.
Well, there's a lot of people who think that he went soft on Comey because he's gotten the president to come his way on
absolutely
Cuba.
Yeah, he was very much against Obama easing the restrictions, and now he's got a friend in the White House, so
right,
to speak.
Right.
Wow. We got the wrong
No, that works.
Trump, with Cuba, and I wonder that too. I mean, it's interesting because he had ties to Cuba. You know, he went there supposedly in the late 90s with interested in business. You would think that he would be open to travel, and I do wonder if Rubio, how much of that is to please that base, and how much of this really is going to affect what's happening in Cuba. You know, I think a lot of us here still think that the answer to Cuba is to ease restrictions, is that if you show democracy to the Cubans, eventually things are going to work out. That's how we did it in China. That's how we did it in Vietnam. And, you know, what's it going to accomplish by suddenly restricting travel again?
Because I do think Trump wants to take Obama's name off everything that he can. And this is part of it.
Well, there's a certain hypocrisy because he is going to roll back the normalization of relations because of human rights.
Right.
And nobody likes that Cuba doesn't have a free press or that it locks up people who as political prisoners. On the other hand, he just went to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Human rights, it's okay to violate human rights if they have oil.
Right, right. I mean, look at China. China has human rights violations. So we're okay having, you know, friends with that were in countries. And plus, in order to have normalized relations, they want free elections, you know, free all the prisoners, free press. We want to dictate to Cuba what kind of government it should have. And yet Republican values are that self-determination, you know, that it is up to people to decide for themselves what they want. But in this case, we are violating Republican norms and telling Cuba what they need to do if they want to work with us. And you know what? After 50 years, what have we learned? It doesn't work. So let's go back to a failed policy. That's what we're going to hear from the president this week.
I'll say one thing. I've always had a problem as an American that my country can tell me where I can travel and where I can't travel. If I'm supposed to live in the freest country in the world, if I want to go to Cuba, I have that right to go to Cuba. So I've never understood the travel ban. It makes no sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, so the Florida legislature ended its session.
Finally ended.
It's special session.
Special.
Yeah, a couple hours early on Friday, and there were handshakes and smiles all around. All around, that is, by the three people who run the legislature or who run Tallahassee. And that is, you know, the House Speaker Richard Corcoran, who by far is a little patent up in Tallahassee. It's a militaristic operation he runs. You know, you vote my way or you don't get whatever policy or perk that you hope to get. Joe Negron, the president of the Senate, he you know, worked with the governor throughout the session. In the end, he almost got squeezed out. And there was Governor Scott at the end by holding the veto pen over both of these two chambers. He got some of what he wants. You know, in some ways, it's like you look at the three of them and you think, why elect the rest of the legislature? Why do we even do that?
They do so
it sounds
much.
Like Cuba, it sounds like Cuba, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
they do
these
so
guys
much,
are in charge.
They did so much behind closed doors this session that I think people should be bothered by that if they're not. I mean, this is your state legislature. It affects you. And everything they did, everything important they did, seemed to be done behind closed doors.
And, you know, I do see one thing about Rick Scott, though. He was looking pretty bad. Oh, the dinger. We're getting used to so many. There's so many sounds now. We got Trump. We got Hillary. Go ahead, Alana, please.
Even if you take into account the extra $100 per pupil that the lawmakers instituted, Florida is the number three in size as far as the education population in the state. And we're grossly behind as far as how much money we delegate per student. And Corcoran said that this would be the greatest public school bill in the history of Florida. And cackling Hillary doesn't think so. She doesn't think so.
That evil laugh.
It is. It's a very chucky laugh. But seriously, Florida students were cheated, as far as I'm concerned, in this education bill.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if this legislature is saying it's the best public bill they've ever had in Florida, you know it's probably one of the worst. You know, I will say that Rick Scott, actually, he was looking pretty bad through this whole thing, that everything, you know, he has a Republican legislature there, and everything he wanted, you know, you look at Enterprise, you look at Visit Florida, his main accomplishments, they were just not listening to him. So he got a lot of what he wanted. I actually thought in the end it was slimy, it was secretive the way it all went down behind closed doors, but he ended up with a lot of what he wanted, and he kind of saved some face going into possible Senate race here.
Well, we'll see this week. You know, he's supposed to sign House Bill 7069, which is a gift to the charter school industry. And by the way, Richard Corcoran's wife runs a charter school in Pasco County. So
a little I'm all right.
Yeah, but this was going to be the most transparent, ethical. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You know, and the governor gets his money for economic development. And unlike before, where it had to meet certain thresholds, this time he gets an $85 million pot of money to spend as he wants. You know? It's amazing, this slush fund that he got. It is absolutely a slush fund. It's for roads. It's for training, workforce training. Well, you know, the Florida Department of Transportation is what funds roads now. So why do we need to have a whole new department that funds roads over under the governor's Economic Opportunity Office? And colleges, community colleges, state colleges, they train workers, workforce training now. But we're going to have we're going to create a whole new bureaucracy. This is the conservative Republicans who don't have great oversight over all this spending. They say they will, but we'll see. But no, it was discouraging to see how this all went down.
Lana, you're up.
I'm up. Let me flip the timer. We may get a 51st star on the flag. Who knows?
Oh.
Who knows? Puerto Ricans voted for U.S. statehood in a non-binding referendum on Sunday. 97% of those who turned out said they wanted it, but it was a low voter turnout, only 23%. And so we're wondering, what's the next step for Puerto Rico?
Yeah, I mean, that's still amazing. I know it was low turnout, and I think a lot of them figure nothing's going to get done no matter what, especially with the Republican Congress, who I don't think they're going to want to bring in Puerto Rico for many reasons, but I think the main one is they see you would bring in some electoral votes
that would probably
go Democrat. Mm-hmm. So I think, but still, even though it was low turnout, 97% of the people that turned out said they wanted statehood. And that speaks loudly, and I think it's something over the years. I don't think anything's going to happen anytime soon, but it's something we really got to pay attention to.
They think that's going to end their economic problems by becoming a state. And they've got so many economic problems going on right now in Puerto Rico that it's hard to say that becoming a state is going to end it.
But territory status, why do we have territories? Why don't we either make them a state or let them become independent? What's the point of having territories?
Okay. Well, let them become independent.
I think one of the issues that the person will be looking to is Marco Rubio. Given the trouble in Puerto Rico with its financial, on the verge of, when they were on the verge of declaring bankruptcy, he was working with them to try to, figure out how to address the financial issues that it faces. And where is he now, you know? And this matters to Florida because Puerto Rico is in so many ways our neighbor. So many of our neighbors come here from Puerto Rico, and they're coming in increasing numbers because things are so bad there. To me, the vote is Puerto Rico's cry for help. Pay attention to us. We are part of you. We are citizens of the United States. We get to vote too. Pay attention to us. And I would hope that the senator from Florida, Marco Rubio, who has shown interest before, will again let us know what does he think we do about this.
I know it's funny they talk about the low turnout. What was it, 23%? Which is low for them. For us, we get about 10% in every local election.
For local election. It's a little different, though, local election versus the future of your country.
I understand it, but our local turnout is so awful.
It's weak. Yeah.
Right.
Vote.
Right. Okay.
All right, I'm up here, and we're going to talk about Broward County possibly getting a mayor. Right now, the Charter Review Commission has been meeting, and that's the hottest topic right now. They're going to look at how they can possibly change the county charter. And Broward County doesn't have a mayor. It's actually, I think a lot of people are surprised. They don't realize that. There is technically a mayor. They rotate each year. They voted among themselves. Right now it's Barbara Sharif. But she is just elected in her district. She is a commissioner who this year is serving as mayor. And the problem is, without having a mayor, there's no one person that the business community can kind of go to. No one leader that's held accountable. You have a county administrator, but they're not elected by the people. So we have supported in the past, letting the voters decide if they want a county mayor in Broward. It's coming to a head now. The commission is going to make their recommendations. And, I wonder if there's going to have to be, they're going to have to give in some. We've talked about wanting a strong mayor, where this person, buck stops with this mayor. I don't know if they want a strong mayor. I don't know if the commission, now the county commissioners don't have final say on this, but with the charter review, they have some influence. And I wonder if it's going to have to end up being some kind of slightly weakened mayor for them to give their blessing.
Well, I think the Charter Review Commission is hoping people like you weigh in on this issue. It's June 22nd next week.
The county commission
they
chambers.
Have their next hearing. The governance subcommittee of the Charter Review Commission is dealing with this issue. So now's your chance to be heard. Yes, I think that what we're hearing is that politically there's more, it's more palatable to have a mayor who is not a strong mayor in terms of being able to, hire the county administrator. I don't really know why we need a county administrator if we have an everyday chief executive, but somebody who can veto something because that's the role of the chief executive. The argument for it in my mind is that we have somebody who you can go to who's in charge. Right now there's 9 different people, and when 9 people are in charge of something, nobody's in charge of something. The one person who does run things, the administrator, only reports to 9 people. She's not elected.
I disagree, though, that you don't need a county administrator. I still think you do. And I think I think the mayor should be able to hire and fire that person. Commission approves. They can override with a supermajority of a veto. But I still think the day-to-day operations, I don't envision the mayor. The mayor will be in charge and will have their hands on. But I still think you need a bureaucrat, somebody who is a professional managing the day-to-day. It's a big county, Broward County. And then you have the mayor on top of that person.
Mm-hmm. So, again, they're looking for input from you all, and we'll be weighing in on this again this week as well.
And so now we're going to give our parting thoughts.
Oh, and do we have any questions?
We're going to go to parting thoughts right now.
Okay. That means
ask
there's
questions,
no questions.
People.
Yeah. Okay, you go first.
I'll go first, okay. My parting thought is this. Megyn Kelly's on NBC now, and she is bringing on Alex Jones next week, conspiracy theorist, the one who said the Sandy Hook massacre was fake, bringing him on NBC next week, yes, to question him, but you're legitimizing this guy. I think it's wrong. I feel bad for the parents of the Sandy Hook and all these other conspiracy theory 9/11 truther that you're giving him this kind of platform. I think it's wrong, and I hope NBC rethinks it.
Alana?
My parting thought is, with a tweet, Melania announced that she has moved to the White House. She and Barron had chose to stay in New York in the penthouse while the school year had finished, but now they're in. So I think it'll be interesting to see how she fills out that space. You know, Michelle Obama became such a beloved figure, so it'll be interesting to see how she makes that her own in the White House.
Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm.
My parting thought is that today is the one-year anniversary of the massacre at the Pulse in Orlando. We've had some gay pride marches, etc. I just think it's time to reflect a little bit on the price we pay for hate in this country. And the Pulse showed that, you know, graphically.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Gary.
More than prayers. We need more than prayers.
That's right.
More than prayer.
Yeah. And I'm just glad it stopped raining, you know? I'm glad that the fires are out. The fire threat now in Florida is out. So how was my weekend?
He's so cute.
So there you go. My Caddyshack guy.
Davie, Florida. Caddyshack was filmed
right
in my backyard.
Oh yeah. So the golf course. The golf course that people can go out and golf again.
Morals golf course.
Yeah.
Okay, so thanks for joining us here today, and join us again next Monday at noon for South Florida Opinion Live.